Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson in studio with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with us today as we mark St. Patrick's Day 2018 on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. And first, we're heading out to Ireland, the nation that was discipled by Patrick some 1,300 years ago. And what a shift, what a change he made to Ireland, of course, to almost all of Europe, thanks to the missionary outreach that came out of the Chaldean Church of Scotland and Ireland throughout the succeeding centuries, through the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th centuries. So much progress made by the Chaldean missionaries, by the Irish missionaries, thanks to the work of St. Patrick, who brought the Word of God, the gospel, to the most dangerous nation in the world at that time, a nation that was about as pagan as you could imagine, so far off the beaten track, that he brought the gospel there and transformed the nation in the 5th and 6th centuries. Well, Ireland is now receiving the heritage of 1,000 years of Christian thought, of the Christian faith. And Ireland is the last pro-life country in the West. If you take a look at the map provided by the Center for Reproductive Rights, it's the world's abortion laws map. You can just click on it and you'll find one of the most interesting maps you'll ever see as we look at the color coding of those nations that are pro-abortion and those nations that are pro-life worldwide. And what you'll find is that all of America, all of Canada, Europe, Eastern Europe, Russia, that's all green on the map. That is, they abort kids at will. That is, abortion is completely legal across those particular nations. And the only nation that is standing out from all of the other nations across the entire Western world and most of the Northern Hemisphere turns out to be what?
Ireland.
Ireland. One tiny little spot in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Britain is still color-coded red on the world abortion laws map provided by the Center for Reproductive Rights. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's That's fascinating. Really interesting. It's a sobering look at the world.
Sure it is. It sure is, my friend. So much has changed since the 1950s and 1960s. Margaret Sanger, probably the most powerful woman of the 20th century, who brought about a massive Holocaust, the slaughter of at least 2 billion children, probably closer to 3 to 4 billion children, slaughtered by means of surgical abortions, the abortifacient chemical birth control pill since the 1960s. Indeed, friends, we are looking at the largest demographic shift since the worldwide flood. The worldwide flood shifting everything from hundreds of millions of people down to 8. And the judgment of God fell upon the nations at that time. But now, of course, another judgment has descended upon the nation, and willfully, parents have slaughtered billions of children around the world thanks to the encouragement of civil governments. Well, friends, the Center for Reproductive Rights produces this world abortion law map, and right there in the middle of the Western world is one tiny little nation still hanging on to a basically pro-life perspective, and that is Ireland. Almost every one of the nations around the world kills baby, with the exception of Mexico, Brazil, a few other South American countries, and about half of Africa. Outside of that, outside of some of these most recently paganized nations, but now more, I suppose, Christianized in some respects, outside of some of these nations, the Western world has infected almost all of the civilized world with a pro-abortion policy. And it's Ireland that still stands out as an exception to the rule. And, of course, that is about to change. And that's the reason for this program. As we celebrate St. Patrick's Day 2018, the Irish government is placing a national referendum before the people in May, intending to remove the pro-life plank in the nation's constitution. And Ireland's parliament is a little ahead of the game with this, considering a bill that would allow the killing of children up to the 12th week of pregnancy. And just last weekend, 10,000 pro-life protesters showed up in Dublin to stand for the pro-life cause. However, national opinion polls in Ireland are moving pro-abortion. And friends, we're going to give you some of the reasons for this. Why is the populace moving more and more pro-abortion including the millennial generation, far more pro-abortion than previous generations. Why are the national opinion polls indicating a pro-abortion trend, with 50% supporting the change in Ireland and 30% still standing for the pro-life cause? Most of the pro-abortion population coming from the younger millennial generation, according to a report from Christian Today. We'll be back with more in just a moment. We're going to answer that question on this St. Patrick's Day 2018. We'll be back in just a moment. There is nothing our nation and our families need more than the Word of God. Do you want to build a family that will stand? Jesus said the wise man built his house upon the rock of Jesus' own words, and his house stood through the raging storms of wind and flood. In a world where families are coming apart at the seams, where there is little generational faith continuity, let's build our families on the rock of God's word every day. Generations is sponsoring the Bible Family Conference on August 10th and 11th in Washington, D.C., with speakers Ray Comfort, Ken Ham, Steve Green, Joel Beakey, Douglas Bond, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We have organized tours that will feature this nation's biblical Christian roots, and we have secured tickets to the new 430,000-square-foot Bible Museum. Take your family through this museum and check out a huge collection of Bible artifacts, amazing archaeological discoveries, and a Bible in American History exhibit. It's the ultimate family vacation to Washington, D.C. this August. The Bible Family Conference happens the week of August 7th, sponsored by Generations.org. Registration prices start at $59, and early registration ends March 31st. Register at Generations.org. That's Generations.org. And we are back on the Generations radio broadcast as we consider the last pro-life nation in the world about to tip over into the pro-abortion trending of the entire Western world, as the Western world has moved away from the Christian faith and has itself devolved as civilizations are breaking down big time. Friends, we have to ask the question, why? Why is the populace moving as quickly as they are towards destroying their own civilizations, breaking down their societies, killing their children, and imploding their birth rates? Why? Why? Well, Ireland's polls indicate that the younger generation is gung-ho for killing kids. But why is that? Now, American polls indicate something similar to that. Pew Research has found that 18 to 29-year-olds in America favor the legalization of abortion in all or most cases at 65%. Now, I know there have been a few polls that have indicated that there are more millennials calling themselves pro-life. But again, what you call yourself and what you really are and what you stand for, two different things. So therefore, the question posed of these Americans is simply whether they think abortion should be legal in all or most cases. 18 to 29-year-olds, 65%. 30 to 49-year-olds, 59%. 50 to 64-year-olds, 53%. That is that the younger generation is always a little bit more pro-abortion than the previous generation. So, 65% of millennials want pro-abortion policies.
So it's one half for mature adults, and it is
about two-thirds
for those who are following.
That's right.
So what is practiced in moderation by one generation is put into practice in spades by the next.
I think that's the first reason for it, Bill. Yeah, their parents killed a third to one half of their siblings by abortion and the use of the abortifacient contraceptive birth control pill, which people know has abortifacient qualities. People know that. I mean, it's on every, you know, every purchase they make of birth control pills. They indicate that these contraceptives have abortifacient
qualities.
However,
Kevin, you know, in conversations I've had on college campuses with students, and we ask them what conception is. They say, well, it means that there's something growing inside you. It's not a baby just yet. That is a direct quote, by the way. Now, what is it? Is it a puppy? Is it a guppy? What is it if it's not a baby? Now, that person should be the poster child from the need for more sex education in K through 12 schools. But wait. He is the product of sex education, 12 years of sex education, and he does not know, this individual does not know what conception is. It's because the culture has obfuscated the truth. They have covered up, they have masked the truth. And so even though it may be the on the label of the product, in the mind of the individual, they've been trained to think that this is not abortion. It is merely a choice.
I understand the rhetoric.
Yeah.
But I think
language
that,
matters.
I think there's some self-deception going on. And
then,
you know,
you're right.
Sin is always comes with a wrapper with the nice little bow on top that justifies what they are doing. I think in a sane moment, they would realize that what is growing within them is a baby, because what comes out of the womb, as you said, is not a puppy or a guppy. It's a baby. And so, you know, this baby didn't just appear. This baby grew over a period of 9 months.
Right.
And I think the average person with an IQ of maybe higher than 45 would admit in an honest moment that they are killing a child when they employ abortions and abortifacients to the child. Now, if their parents have wiped out 60 million babies, or 80 million babies, or 100 million babies, if you include the effect of the abortifacient birth control pill, if their parents killed 80 million of their siblings with abortion, that was a bad example. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you're setting a bad example when you do that kind of thing.
And when you set examples, people follow those examples.
They tend to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so your children, even though you don't think they do, they look up to you and they emulate what you have done. And they will carry it out in spades.
Why is the younger generation turning more pro-abortion? First reason, their parents set a bad example. Second reason is I think evolution is taking root, more so in this generation than even in the 1970s, 1980s.
Oh, it absolutely is. And it is beyond debate now that it is considered to be a fact. And as a result, it has ramifications and implications. And evolution is the basis for justifying abortion, because you're not killing a baby, they say. You're killing just, you know, it went through the fish stage. It's Haeckel's theory that you go through that the embryo recapitulates the evolutionary history.
And moreover, just the materialistic worldview that does not allow for God, does not allow for absolute ethics, the materialistic evolutionary worldview that reduces man to nothing more than cosmic dust, but a little more advanced form of cosmic dust and universe of pure chance, does not allow for much of a value for life. I think that's the other thing that we need to remember, is eventually these worldviews seep into people's lifestyle and their life choices. And when people have been told over and over again, you are nothing but advanced forms of cosmic dust and the primordial slime, and you have just evolved in a universe of pure chance in which there is no real purpose, there's no real ethic, there is no ultimate value placed upon anything in this world, because there is no God and there is no ultimate value. That, my friends, results in a people that are willing to kill just about anybody at any time. So again, my friends, evolution has had an influence, and it will over a period of 50, 60, 70 years, in which it is pounded into the minds of children who are sitting in K-12 schools and universities over a long period of time. Evolution, materialism, these worldviews have made an effect upon the lives and the choices of the millennial generation. But the third thing, Bill, there's a third reason why the younger generation is turning more pro-abortion than the previous generation. I think that's because of the media and its lack of respect for human life. And I think of the most popular television program available on the media today, and that is the Game of Thrones.
Oh, I thought it was Gilligan's Island.
No, it's not Gilligan's Island, and it's not, as it turns out, the Generation's radio broadcast. The most popular.
What?
I'm
Why
sorry.
Am I here?
I'm sorry.
That was in the contract you had me sign.
Yeah,
you're
it might
signing
have been,
me on to the most popular radio show.
No, it's not.
Oh,
I hate to break the expectation there. But anyway, Game of Thrones is the most popular program in the world today. In the world, that's right. The HBO produced program is in 170 markets around the world, and the UK is probably the highest fan base. 8% of UK households watch every episode, and that's a conservative number. It's probably closer to 16 to 20%. Of UK households watching every episode. 4% of US households watch every episode. It is the most popular TV show in America as well. It is the most popular TV show in the UK. It is the most popular TV show in the world. 170 markets around the world are carrying Game of Thrones, produced by HBO. And the program has obviously presented itself as probably the most violent television program ever produced in the history of television. And there's, you know, no limitation on its sensationalization of murder and of rape and all of these other things. But the program has also sensationalized child sacrifice. And I think this is something that some people don't realize, that in the 2015 run on this program, they sensationalized the child sacrifice. And this man, Stannis, wanted this child sacrificed for his own personal destiny. And his philosophy, as he presented it, was almost entirely pro-choice. This is the pro-choice ideology as recorded by the man Stannis in Game of Thrones. So again, the philosophy of child sacrifice was very well represented on Game of Thrones. And again, this man Stannis, here's the quote, "If a man knows who he is and remains true to himself, the choice, that is the choice to child sacrifice and or abortion, the choice is no choice at all. He must fulfill his destiny and become who he is meant to be." Now, Bill, does that sound like the pro-choice ideology? It's almost perfectly stated. That is the pro-choice ideology. This man, Stannis, agreed to allow his daughter to be set on fire by a sorceress in Game of Thrones. And he did so because he said a man has to be true to himself. If a man's not true to himself, the choice is no choice at all. He must fulfill his destiny and become who he is meant to be. This, my friends, this idea of self-identification and self-determination is pure existentialism. It's pure ethical autonomy, of course, but it is the idea of making a choice, an ethical choice, for yourself, for the benefit of your own destiny, without anybody inflicting any kind of control over your personal choice. You want to set your own destiny. You want to enjoy your own convenient lifestyle and make your own choices and kill a child if necessary in the process. This is the pro-choice ideology, almost beautifully stated by this character in Game of Thrones who allowed his daughter to be set on fire by a sorceress. And the child was burned to death with ample amounts of screaming as well. I'm sure that was for the audience's pleasure. Because, friends, again, what we're seeing here is nothing more or less than what we saw in the grandstands of the modern Colosseums. The most popular TV show in the world from HBO presents child sacrifice in gratuitous detail. Constant nudity, rapes, gratuitous violence, torture, beheadings, head crushings, other unspeakable tortures that I could not mention on this program, explicitly depicted for the audience's sheer delight as they sit in the grandstands of the modern Colosseums, that is their own living rooms. This is Game of Thrones, and this is why Irish youth have no trouble killing babies.
It is the impact of a secular worldview on media, and it is conveyed to the masses, and they begin to think along the same lines.
And it's not just the Irish youth, it's the American youth, too. A young woman named Ruth Marcus just did a Washington Post op-ed, and she's being praised as courageous for a deeply personal opinion piece where she reveals she would have aborted her unborn child had her prenatal testing uncovered the likelihood that her child would be born with Down syndrome. She would have killed that child. And she is being lauded as courageous for her deeply personal opinion piece. This is exactly the nightmare that St. Patrick and the Christians encountered as they came face to face with the Druids, the paganism of Ireland some 1,300 years ago. And that's why this program is going to be relevant to St. Patrick's Day 2018. Let's talk about the Druids. Let's talk about what they found when they finally came to Ireland, way off the beaten track, where even the Roman authorities didn't want a whole lot to do with them because of the horrendous pagan conditions that represented the Irish and the Druids, of course, that had demonic control over them and full reign over the peoples for a long, long time, for centuries upon centuries, until the gospel of Jesus Christ broke through and the light pierced the darkness. You know, the Druids had an obsession with human sacrifice. Do you know that? They had an obsession with human sacrifice. And this is, of course, what the modern world has brought back with abortion, Human heads were impaled on the walls of forts. Human skulls were used as drinking bowls. Warriors hung the shrunken skulls of their enemies from their belts. The Irish were kept in constant fear of the Druids, the priests who demanded human sacrifice to their gods. They would perform what they called the Wicker Man ceremony. Now, we've referred to this before on the program because just a few years ago, Nevada has reenacted the Wicker Man ceremony. And last year, the Wicker Man included the first real human sacrifice. It was a voluntary sacrifice where a man walked into the fire, but it was the first reenactment of the human sacrifices of the Wicker Man ceremony from 2,000 years ago. And Julius Caesar actually talked about the ritual in one of his books. This is Julius Caesar, the Roman emperor, said they use figures of immense size whose limbs woven out of twigs they fill with living men, set them on fire, and the men perish in a sheet of flame. Caesar said that when the supply of criminals ran out, the Druids simply executed the innocent. So this is the kind of thing the Druids did. Of course, this is the kind of thing the modern world has brought back, and the Irish are turning back towards human sacrifice one more time.
We're not burning them outside the womb. We're burning them inside the womb.
Yeah, that's the difference. Yes. But Patrick put an end to this by the 7th century. You know, there was only like one Druid priest left who was longing for the old days of human sacrifice. There's an ancient quote from a Druid priest who was still alive in the 700s. And he was pretty disappointed that that human sacrifice had been wiped out. And it turns out St. Patrick had driven the serpents out of Ireland.
Yeah.
And you know what the serpents were. People say there were no snakes in Ireland. That's true.
That's true.
But there were snakes in Ireland.
They were the Druid priests.
And the demons that infected them.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, let's just read a little bit from Patrick's confession. This, of course, part of our ninth grade curriculum as a very, very important part of a Christian curriculum. Of course, your children need a rooting in Christian history, and that's what we provide in our Christian discipleship curriculum against the humanist curriculum that has been produced in schools for the last 50 to 60 years. We're bringing back a Christian curriculum which includes so much Christian literature, classic Christian literature, including the Confessions of Patrick. And Patrick said, there is no other God, nor will there ever be, nor was there ever except God the Father. He is the one who is not begotten, the one without a beginning, the one from whom all beginnings come, the one who holds all things in being. This is our teaching. And his son, Jesus Christ, whom we testify has always been since before the beginning of this age, with the Father in a spiritual way, he was begotten in an indescribable way before every beginning. Everything we can see and everything beyond our sight was made through him. He became a human being, and having overcome death, was welcomed to the heavens to the Father. The Father gave him all power over every being, both heavenly and earthly and beneath the earth. Let every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, in whom we believe and whom we await to come back to us in the near future, is Lord and God. He is judge of the living and of the dead. He rewards every person according to their deeds. He has generously poured on us the Holy Spirit, the gift and promise of immortality, who makes believers and those who listen to be children of God and co-heirs with Christ. This is the one we acknowledge and adore, one God in Trinity of the sacred name. He said through the prophet, call on me in the day of your distress, and I will set you free, and you will glorify me. Again, he said, it is a matter of honor to reveal and tell forth the works of God. Although I am imperfect in many ways, I want my brothers and relations to know that what I'm really like, so that they can see what it is that inspires my life. I am not ignoring the evidence of my Lord, who testifies in the psalm, you destroy those who speak lies. And again, he says, a mouth which lies kills the soul. And the same Lord says in the gospel, the idle words which people speak, they will account for in the day of judgment. So I should greatly dread with fear and trembling the sentence on that day where nobody can avoid or escape, but all shall give complete account of the least of sins before the tribunal of the Lord Christ. And so on and so on and so on it goes. He says in his confessions, he baptized thousands, thousands upon thousands of Irish in his missionary career. That's just a tremendous story. And of course, we tell more of it in our ninth grade curriculum, Taking the World for Jesus. So we tell the story in our History of the Western World, or a History of the World, where we go through every continent, every century, and show what Jesus did despite all of the heathen powers and the humanist empires. Jesus Christ changed the world over 2,000 years. And we tell the story of Patrick and how he had such an influence over Ireland, then Scotland, then over much of Northern Europe, and how the missionary work went forward. And so many good things happened as God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ put an end to human sacrifice in Europe. If you haven't told the story to your children, tell the story of what Jesus did. Taking the world for Jesus is where we tell the story of Patrick. And also the ninth grade curriculum includes the confessions of St. Patrick as well. And we would encourage you to read that. You know, he also fought off the slave trade. One of the very, very first of Christians who opposed the slave trade that was brought about in Ireland by Caractacus, who was, by the way, an apostate Christian. Basically, he had the same problem that the Spanish and English slave traders had in the 1700s. These were apostate Christians who introduced a more slave trade to Ireland in the 5th century. And Patrick wrote a book or wrote a letter to Caractacus in which he effectively consigned him to the fires of hell forever and ever, unless he repented. It's a very, very powerful letter that he wrote to this man, Caractacus.
Wow.
And marks Patrick as one of the very, very, very first of the Christians that fought the slave trade and fought slavery tooth and nail in the 5th century. Yes, it has been Christians who have worked hard to bring an end to that blight off the face of this earth. And it was Patrick that was leading the charge in the 5th century. So my hat's off to Patrick of Ireland, and praise God for the influence that this man had over Ireland for 1,300 years. Think about how long it's been that Ireland has avoided human sacrifice and this blight of child killing and abortion that now, of course, the humanists are bringing back for the first time in 1,300 years.
Yeah, it's maybe we should pause on this St. Patrick's Day and pray for Ireland.
You know? Why don't we do that? Go ahead, Bill.
Great God of the universe, you have sent at various times in history men to proclaim truth and grace in very extraordinary circumstances. And Patrick was one of those men.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for raising up such men, and we ask that you do so again. We ask that you do so for the sake of the unborn in Ireland, but also raise up Patricks around the world in areas where child sacrifice and slavery still exist.
Mm.
And we pray that you will do so for the sake of the children, certainly, but most importantly, for your glory.
That's right.
And for your truth, that it may be proclaimed boldly, and that men will turn to you, and that people will again proclaim your truth and your grace and praise your name, and thus be a blessing in every nation. We ask this for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast as we consider the huge influence that one man had over continents and over a period of, 1,500 years. Friends, you can grab some of our resources we've talked about from our website, generations.org. Would encourage you to that little 400-page, four-color presentation of 2,000 years of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ across this world. The book is called Taking the World for Jesus. And also the Christian curriculum for 9th grade and for 10th grade, 11th and 12th. We're also adding 7th and 8th grade curriculum for Christian families, for Christian students. All of this available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.